get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
They're saying I should think stuff. Something is wrong with me.
Practice.
About 3 years ago, Greg Mahochko, the founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, reached out to me after hearing me on Kevin Hunsberger's My 123 Cents podcast a few times, which is also a Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network show. And Greg just asked, he's like, "You are so awesome on Kevin's show. Have you ever thought of doing your own podcast?" And I was like, "Well, duh. Of course I have, but I knew nothing about podcasting, so I really hadn't given it much thought." But Greg and I continued to have conversation and tried to come up with an idea for a show. And finally, after I think it was at least 4 or 5 months of discussions, finally came up with the idea for the Positive Cynicism podcast. And I think we probably should have spent about another 6 months really thinking about it, because Positive Cynicism is probably one of the worst names you could name a show. Even though I like the name, I like what it stands for, it doesn't tell you anything about what the show is. And in the early days of the show, it was just me talking about whatever I felt like talking about that week, or every 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, depending on when inspiration would strike. And then finally, after a year of not knowing what the show was, and doing a few shows with other co-hosts that would become permanent co-hosts on Positive Cynicism, I decided that it was time to bring in co-host and talk about something somewhat regular, or something on a regular schedule, with these co-hosts. Well, now, after a year and a half, 2 years almost of doing that, it is time that, unfortunately, we say goodbye to the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network and branch out and start the Positive Cynicism Podcasting Network, the PCPN, as all the cool kids will probably never call it, but that's what it is. And so I just want to take this time right now to, first off, thank Greg for giving me the chance to do the show. And really, without him, there would be no Positive Cynicism, and there would be no five other Positive Cynicism branded shows. So I guess in a way, this is kind of Greg's fault that I'm leaving. Yeah, we'll go with that. And I also want to thank Kevin Hunsberger, who I have recently been on My 123 Cents, and hope to continue to do so in the future. But Kevin allowed me that first step of taking the podcast, dipping my feet into the podcasting pool, if you will, and we just went from there. Now, this isn't exactly a full-fledged goodbye, as Greg and I are talking about doing a show with the two of us co-hosting, and we'll see where that goes and how soon that starts up, hopefully in the next week or so, but, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. So right now, what you're going to hear for the rest of this episode is just conversations with my other co-host talking about the shows that we will be doing, and I hope you enjoy, and stay tuned to PositiveCynicism.com. Follow me on Twitter at Chad Smart for all the latest. But now I'm just going to let the other host speak.
Hi, this is Greg Mahochko, the host of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. And over the years that I've been running the Nerds United show, I've been fortunate enough to speak with many of my talented friends, both artists and writers, creators of comic books, but I've also spoken with some more recognizable names in comics and entertainment. Legendary artist Greg Land, hey, we Greg's gotta stick together. Writer Colin Bunn, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, and comic book creator DMC Daryl McDaniels, The Flash of yesteryear, and in more recent memory, Flash's dad, John Wesley Shipp, and a lot more. And I encourage you to subscribe to the Nerds United podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, or you can check it out anytime you want on jitterymonkey.com. And as founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, I really do appreciate your support. When you share a podcast, you help get our little corner of the podcasting world out to even more people. So anytime you do that, you really don't know how much we appreciate it. So share away.
Joining me now, all the way across the country, due to the wonders of technology, is the Travis Yates. You can find him on Twitter at the Travis Yates. And Travis, first off, I have to say, we've been waiting. It's been 2 months since you've been on Positive Cynicism's podcast. Did you survive the hurricane?
Well, thanks, Chad. I did survive the hurricane because it got to my front door and then it just stopped. And then it just sat and waved at me for about 48 hours before heading north. So apparently if you don't answer the door, then it just doesn't bother you. So we were very fortunate. And unfortunately for the northern Bahamas, they our good fortune was their misfortune. So that's a tricky situation when you hope for, you know, all of this stuff to go away from you, but then that means it's going somewhere else. So thankfully this time around, my family was spared. Our area was spared. Yeah. So good to be back. And yeah, we're coast to coast.
Now, I mean, you say you were spared, but I'm kind of curious because I think something did get wiped out in that area, and that is the Miami Dolphins football team.
Hey, it's a rebuild now. All right. Be careful.
Yes. It's been a rebuild decade.
It hasn't. It's been a mediocre decade. Now it's a complete full-blown disaster, but that's a change. And right now any change is good, right? No, I'd have to say I've been feeling not great about it. The football is terrible to watch it, but I was recently reminded of how the Dallas Cowboys of the 90s, that dynasty, was built in this very similar fashion. And how they traded away a star player in Herschel Walker for the boatload of picks, and then they turned those picks into good players, and then they had a decade long amazing run out of it, and they started out, you know, they were 1-15, I think, that first Jimmy Johnson season. So we're on the right path, believe it or not.
All right, we'll come back to this conversation in 5 years and see, because I don't know if I trust the Dolphins enough to make good draft decisions.
Fair enough.
We'll see. But as I said, it's been a couple months since you've been on the show, and in your absence, we have done some retooling. We are launching this new Positive Cynicism podcasting network, the PCPN. That's not going to become a thing, but I just wanted to say it. And we're talking a little bit before this recording that we're going to retool our show, the show that you are on, because one, it didn't really have a name. We're trying to brand everything. Two, you and I have been doing these shows for about the last 18 months, I believe. And I always enjoy the conversations that we have. I never know exactly where they're going to go, but the deep dive into a topic has been something that I hope the listeners enjoy as much as I hope they enjoy the conversations listening to them as much as I have talking about them.
Well, the feedback's definitely been good, so I think we're on the right path. And we're living a reboot right now, Chad. I'm kind of excited. We're in our own reboot. So this is really exciting. And, you know, class is now in session, right?
And speaking of that, we are rebranding. We are naming the show. The show is finally getting a name. Our little baby we brought home, we didn't know what to call it. We are now calling it Popology 101. And like you said, class will be in session because you are a professor, not of thugonomics, but of pop culturenomics.
Right. They wouldn't let me teach thugonomics. Apparently my background didn't qualify me, but my background, my education in pop culture and American media does. So there you have it.
So we are going to be, instead of just coming up randomly each week with a topic, we are actually going to sit down, plot out a course, and have multi-part series devoted to, well, we'll figure it out when we go. But, you know, we were talking one of the topics beforehand would be the evolution of parental father figures on sitcoms or on television shows, or, you know, breaking down the evolution of horror films and taking deep dives into different topics to see where they kind of started and how they have progressed and how society fits into that evolution.
Yeah, that third part being the most important, because the impact that that the media has on society and how whatever is happening at the time in society is serving as inspiration, perhaps serving as a mirror to the creators of our multimedia. That's all a very a symbiotic relationship. And so that's that third part, I think, is arguably the most important part that we discuss.
Definitely. And I think it's going to be interesting because, as I said, you are a actual college professor. You have that credential. I am a professional college slacker. So we're going to see how the, I'm going to call it a student-teacher relationship. I shouldn't probably say student-teacher relationship. It's not that type of thing. But it's a taking someone who, from your side, is very well adept at breaking down and forming this educational structure and combining it with my lackadaisical
whimsical.
What up, Teach? Yeah.
I prefer whimsical.
You know, we'll be in the middle of discussion and a pizza may show up and I might be like, aloha. So.
And I'm the type of professor that would be okay with that as long as you give me a slice. Oh. So we'll be all right. Yeah, I like taking, you know, complex subjects in this area and breaking them down into little bite-sized morsels that are easy to digest and get you thinking and get you talking, if not to us, then to other people. And that's really what the goal is here.
That's it. So we're going to step away now and go, you know, fill out the syllabus for the for the first semester of classes. But you'll be able to catch Travis. Follow me on Twitter at Chad Smart. Follow him on Twitter at The Travis Yates for more information. And always check out PositiveCynicism.com, where you will find the most up-to-date, I should put a little asterisk there that you can't really see in the fine print, but it should be up-to-date information of when the new shows come out. And, you know, there might be some bonus essays to go along with our topics. So follow that. Yeah. Travis, I am looking forward to this. And real quick, because we did talk about football earlier, go ahead and plug your football podcast so that if people are listening and want to know more, they can listen to that.
Sure. Yeah, thank you. If you're a fan of fantasy football, you can hear me on the Fantasy Fixers every Tuesday morning. The new episode drops on profootballnetwork.com.
Hey everyone, Kevin Huntsberger here from My 123 Cents, the podcast, and My123Cents.com. Every Monday, a new episode drops with the latest news and happenings in the world of professional wrestling. Head to the archives and listen to interviews with legends of the ring like Double J, Jeff Jarrett, Mick Foley, Kamala, and Dan the Beast Severin. Current superstars like Sheamus, Xavier Woods, and Kofi Kingston have been part of the discussion too. Again, it's My 123 Cents, the podcast, a wrestling fan's perspective. Thanks for listening.
One of the aspects of the podcasting universe or the allure of doing a podcast is to talk about things that you really enjoy. And so that's why I brought on Eric Bennett as a co-host for, well, it's a show that, Eric, we haven't named yet. It's the hardest part of doing a podcast is coming up with a name.
Yeah, it's like Clint Eastwood. It's a show with no name.
There you go.
We're just drifting around. We will have a name though, right? Soon.
There will be a name. We may have to outsource it to a Twitter contest or just be walking down the street and whatever graffiti you see spray painted on a building, you're like, that's it.
We'll be inspired by something. We'll come up with something.
Yeah. But the focus of the shows that you and I do together is to focus on that fandom aspect. To, you know, both you and I grew up loving cinema, loving television. You're a huge comic book fan, which right now this is like your golden age. This is what you've waited for your entire life, basically.
Oh, yeah. It's been good for a while since the first X-Men on. So, yeah, I'm enjoying this.
What about the first Daredevil?
Oh.
Or the first Fantastic Four?
Actually, I might be able to go back and say it would have been probably, obviously, some of these cartoons from the 70s and 80s, but The Incredible Hulk was probably... Because the Hulk was my favorite character. Okay. As far as the most comics I have are the Hulk. So seeing that awesome you know, Bill Bixby TV show and Lou Ferrigno just kind of changed my life, because that was the time where I thought this could be real, because it was handled realistically in most episodes. So, but then it kind of went away, and now with technology rising, of course, we have all these movies. So, and we talk a lot about those. So it's a great time for me.
Exactly. And so that's why we talk about what drives us to continue to be fans, what we're looking forward to in the future coming out, because, you know, right now we are on this, I was going to say on the cusp, but we're not on the cusp, because we're right in the middle of this huge superhero expansion. Nerd culture is everywhere. And, well, I expect at some point, trends will change and things will shift. But, Marvel seems to be doing pretty well. And now that they have gotten the Fantastic Four and the X-Men to move put into the MCU, and it looks like Spider-Man is back into the fold, it's going to be interesting to see how they contain all these characters.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think we talked about this before, and we'll talk about it more in future episodes, but I don't see it slowing down. I know Spielberg said that superhero movies will go the way of the Western. Now, it seemed like everything was a Western back in the day, and then it just evaporated because people just got sick of seeing Westerns. Due to the box office, no one can predict this is going to go away. But it may diminish with time. Right now, horror is really popular. I never would have predicted horror would be higher budget and massively successful. So comic genre is going to be here because Disney's the muscle behind it right now. If they acquire another studio, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with DC with, you know, if they do another Batman movie or how well the new Joker movie does. And they have the Harley Quinn movie coming out. So, yeah. What I think also has helped Marvel is taking lesser-known characters, because prior to 2008, 2009, I'm trying to think of when the first Iron Man movie came out, if you would have told people, we're going to make a movie with Robert Downey Jr. starring, and it's going to be about this, you know, character Iron Man, and it's going to be the biggest movie of the year, a lot of people probably would not have believed you.
I didn't believe it. I thought this was going to be a mess. Like, Jon Favreau is directing, Robert Downey Jr., and Iron Man's not that big of a character. And, you know, it's kind of amazing as reflecting back, because like The Dark Knight and Iron Man came out in the same year. I didn't realize that. So I believe they're both 2008. So you have two movies that changed everything. And I think if those two things don't happen, you may not have the fever that we're in right now, where it's everything's hot that's superhero related.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting with the last, and I'm air quoting, last Star Wars movie coming out. Mm-hmm. We'll finish off this 40-year-old story, which hopefully they have a good ending in place after the last movie. I'm going to knock on wood and be, you know,
The Glorious Last Jedi. You know how much I love that one. We still have a massive disagreement on that one.
Yeah. But I think it's going to be interesting to see where that franchise goes. And, you know, you've also got the CGI movies of Pixar. You got Disney launching Disney Plus, which is going to be producing original content and having pretty much the entire back catalog of Disney films out there. And speaking of Disney, you can also tune into the Out of Touchstone podcast, where Mike DeKalb and I will be going through the history of Touchstone films. So check that out when it launches in November of 2019. Cheap plug. But yeah, Eric, I'll get your thoughts, because right now as we record this, I just attended NostalgiaCon, which is all 80s related. We have the LA Comic Con coming up in October, and I don't know if you're planning on attending, if you know what's going to be there, if there's anything that you're looking forward to.
I'm meeting Frodo. Is that Elijah?
Elijah Wood?
Yeah, so I paid for a photo op.
Okay.
So my fandom will be on display as I rush up to him and tell him how much I love Lord of the Rings.
And I think that, you know, we've also discussed every year that we've been doing the show, we always talk about your trips to Comic-Con in San Diego. And I know you attend other ones across the country.
Yeah.
So there's so much fandom here. So for the listener listening now who may not be familiar with the show, what is it that drives your fandom to where you take in all these cons and you do this podcast? What is it that you're hoping, I guess, to get out to, you know, someone just listening to find out what all the fuss is about?
Well, I think what's great about fandom is that, you know, back in the day, we've talked about this, but none of the stuff was really popular, like whether it was Dungeons and Dragons or comic books or video games. They're kind of popular if you went out and played them. But then I was playing a lot of computer games at home, and for me, as an, you know, I'm 49 years old, but this stuff's been popular for a little while now, and it's kind of cool to see all the stuff you loved as a kid and as a teenager. And I was playing games. I'm still playing games. So Phantom, to me, especially if you have as much interest as I do, it pays off because you go to the convention and there's just different wings. And whether you're into art or you're into gaming and you're into celebrity culture, it's all there. And sometimes it's kind of a bit like a cheap drug, because everywhere you look, there's candy that you want to grab, because it's like, oh, this is cool. It's a Street Fighter, or this is this and that, or I can meet this person. But I think the social aspect, and I mentioned this before, is what I like about the conventions. And I know you do a lot. You've done a lot of sports traveling, but I like traveling to a different city, meeting the fans, talking to them in line, then meeting the person that I really want to meet. So I think Phantom is kind of a year-round celebration of pop culture art. And they've really gamed it to where there's always a high around the corner, whether it's San Diego or Emerald City Comic Con, or I just went to a gaming convention in Seattle. But what's really fun is all the friends you make. And I have some lifelong friends from these conventions that I wouldn't have met unless I have a lifelong friend named Larry that I met in a line to meet Gareth Edwards, who did the first Godzilla, not the first Godzilla, but the 2014 version, kind of the reboot. And all that social stuff is really what pays off for me. So the fandom, kind of less about what it was originally and more like, let me have fun here and see if I can find people like me. And it turns out they're everywhere you look. So it's, I'm sure it's just like an NFL fan going to all the stadiums and meeting NFL fans or hockey fans. It's fun to share that with other people.
Yeah, and I think that's the main takeaway from our show that we try to do, is enjoy what you do and realize that there are other people out there who enjoy it as well. And and even if you don't enjoy everything the same, kind of the theme across all the shows, in addition to looking at the past to see where we're going in the future, is to just realize that even though we are different on so many different levels, we're also the same on a lot as well. So it's like, let's focus on that similarity or those things we have in common, and then use that as the basis for then, when you have that strong connection between two people, then the things you don't agree on, it's easier to discuss in a civil manner.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I met some really good friends at the last Star Wars convention, and they were from like Tennessee and some places that you don't run across all those people in Los Angeles. And I'm sure a few of them have some different viewpoints, and we talked about it at bars here and there, but now they're friends and they're going to meet me in LA for the next Star Wars convention. So yeah, absolutely. It's a bridge to meeting people and sharing ideas.
Perfect. So that is, as of now, the Untitled Eric and Chad podcast. You can find out more by following at Chad Smart on Twitter and following PositiveCynicism.com for all the latest updates. And I promise we will have a name very, very soon.
Maybe even tonight.
Possibly. That's not what your country can do. Politicalamity is not just a nice made-up word that I happen to steal from the rock band Extreme, who hopefully either have no problem with me using the title or never find out that I'm using it. Either way, but it is also a term I think encapsulates our political spectrum at the moment. And on Political Calamity, I am joined by Brandon Cooley, we call him the political expert here at Positive Cynicism. And Brandon, just give us a little bit of a background in your political expertise.
Well, I was a political science major in college, and right now I help a lot with campaigns in Georgia locally, with a lot of videos, photography, social media, and such. I love just reading about the history of politics, American politics, and just how we've come to this point.
That sums up politics, I think. Now we've been doing the show for a little over a year, I think, maybe close to a year and a half. But what we like to do on our show is, you and I have differing political opinions, but we never argue. We never you know, flat out say you're wrong, I'm right. Do you find that the discourse in the politics is something that, I mean, I think obviously everyone would agree that it's something that needs to improve, but do you think the discourse actually hinders in regards to the way people listen to the truth?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I would say that neither one of us are really far left or far right, so that because of that, we can have discussions and it's fine. I mean, that's, I think, for a lot of people on social media, the way social media works, we're willing to say things we normally wouldn't say in person to person, at the grocery store, just at, you know, someone's friend's house. Just, we wouldn't really be this political like we are on social media. In person, it allows us to be more argumentative, confrontational. That's one of the big props of social media, Facebook and Twitter, stuff like that. That's the main reason. I think too, our discussions are more just looking at the way the news media handles things, the way predictions of what's going to happen. I think a lot of people, when they have like an activist kind of like take on things, they're really trying to, I wouldn't say convert people, but try to get people to agree with them, you know, so it becomes more argumentative that way too.
Yeah, I think a lot of people look for confirmation bias in everything that they do. Yeah. And I think you and I are, I mean, my intention when I started the show, when I started the original Positive Cynicism podcast, was for it to be very more political oriented, because I did launch the show the week Trump was inaugurated. And I wanted it to focus on that aspect. But at the time, it was just me doing the show by myself. And I soon realized that, one, talking about politics by myself was not really that interesting. And two, it was just me throwing out my opinion and my view. And I think part of our problem in society is not listening to each other. And so obviously I brought you on as a political expert. And the reasoning is, I want, and I chose you specifically, not just because I've known you for so long and I felt like we would have a good banter, but having that difference of opinion, I think, was very important in facilitating an honest discussion. And I think that we need that more in our society.
Yeah, I guess just an honest discussion, or just a very informational discussion, doesn't really get a lot of viewers on Fox News, CNN, social media, MSNBC, all that. So yeah, it'd be nice if there was more of that. I mean, just based on this last week, it's apparent that it's gonna get crazier.
Yeah, and I think so, you know, we've been doing the show once a month now. With the changing format, moving to the Positive Cynicism Podcasting Network, we'll probably hopefully do at least two shows a month going forward, just because, I mean, we always say it every time we record, that there's so much happening just in the day before we record, much less the weeks leading up to the recording, that we can't cover everything. And we're not here to break news, or we're here more just to throw out the opinions of what is going on and what is happening in the political spectrum. So I know I've asked this to you before on the show, but you look at the polls right now, and we're recording this September 30th, 2019. Cory Booker, I believe, has said today is his end date, that he needed X amount of money to continue his campaign. Kamala Harris has been slipping in the polls. Biden is slipping, and there's a lot of talk with the Trump impeachment over the Ukraine deal that may come and ricochet and hit Biden's campaign as well. I've asked you before, do you think any of the top candidates that we've seen so far will still be there in the running come the primary season? Or do you think we're going to get a dark horse that will come out of nowhere and maybe take over?
My prediction right now is the top five right currently will be in Iowa, New Hampshire, in the running still, which would be Biden, Warren, Sanders, Buttigieg, and Harris. I don't see any of the five of them really going down yet. Cory Booker may stay in, but the thing is, Booker and Klobuchar's campaigns are kind of losing support. I don't see them really breaking top five anytime soon, unless something big happens. But it's really about fundraising, because they just have to stay in Iowa, New Hampshire. They have to just keep on hosting the events and doing the advertisements. It's really all about money right at this point. So I think once, unfortunately, I heard that the next debate is going to have 12 people on stage, not six and six each night, which is really disappointing because I want to hear more from each candidate, you know, each night. But so until we get to those debates where there's only six or seven candidates on the stage, it's going to be a lot of the same. So.
But you know you're looking forward to hearing from Tom Steyer.
Oh, yeah, the impeachment kit. Well, yeah. I mean, he was supporting impeachment all along, but well, that's a different topic. But, yeah, he's been I hope he doesn't feel vindicated because it's not really what the impeachment's about now, what he was – but, yeah, it's a long
– Yeah, yeah, that will be on the next episode, I'm sure. Yeah. Okay, so like I said, we've been doing this for a year. What has been one thing you've taken away from the show or one thing you enjoy about the show that the listener out there hopefully is going to pick up on as we continue moving forward with Politiclamity?
Well, it's a great opportunity to have a podcast on politics because it's like a stress test of our democracy right now in the last year or two. I like how we kind of cite history and kind of go over the history of what we're discussing and how we got to this point. That's really, I think, the theme of the podcast so far. We're not just talking about current events, but like, you know, how comparing this to previous administrations, previous scandals, whatever, in politics. In terms of what people can take from it, I mean, I don't think people really sit down and have a discussion about politics usually, unless it's someone they already agree with. So I don't know if, like, yeah, it's unfortunate that doesn't happen more often, I guess. I mean, my favorite show on TV is Bill, the Real Time with Bill Maher, because of the panel he has. He usually tries to discuss stuff with conservatives. And it's not like, it's not edited for time. It's not, they can actually say whatever they want to. It kind of reminds me of that. Minus the snarky comedy by Bill Maher, but
I try, but yeah. I'm just not up to that level yet.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a good takeaway, and it's the running theme I think through all the shows here on Positive Cynicism is we use the past to see where we are today, because I think, you know, there's the cliched saying that those that fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. But there's a lot that we can take away from learning about the past that impacts where we are and where we're going. So, yeah, I think that's it summed up very well. And you can catch Politiclamity, and I will learn to say this word correctly as we keep going, but Politiclamity here, you know, we're still working on release schedules and dates of shows, so just stay tuned to PositiveCynicism.com. And follow us on all podcasting catching platforms, and you will you'll know when a new episode comes out. But Brandon, looking forward to our next discussion, and I'm sure it's going to be a doozy given everything that's going on right now.
Hey, this is Hooch.
And this is Hoss.
And we are the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by CornNation.com, hosted on JitteryMonkey.com, part of the Jittery Monkey family of podcasts. And we are a fan-made, fan-run Nebraska Cornhusker podcast. We talk football, basketball, women's basketball, volleyball, baseball, softball, wrestling. If it's Husker-related, we're going to try to talk about it. And what I love about Hoss is he's the X's and O's guys. He brings the coach mentality to the table.
And Hooch here is the ideas man. He's the skipper of the show, keeping everything running on time and smooth as usual.
We will agree to disagree on that part, sir, but I do appreciate the compliment. And you can catch us during the football season twice a week with reviews and previews of the upcoming games. And the rest of the year, we're bringing you new content every week. CornNation.com, JitteryMonkey.com, because we remind you every week that Five Heart is all the heart you need. Go Big Red.
Win the damn game.
You know when you're driving along and you're listening to the radio and that song comes up by that band that you really liked, and then you start thinking, like, why haven't I heard anything else by this band? Why do I only know this one song? Well, it's probably because they are a one-hit wonder. And if you want to know more about one-hit wonders, you tune in to Wonder Why here on the Positive Cynicism Podcasting Network, the PCPN, as we're not actually going to call it, but I'm going to keep saying it this episode just to try to get it to, you know, hashtag PCPN. Make it trend. Make it the number one worldwide trend in Zimbabwe. I don't even know if they have Twitter. But my co-host on the Wonder Why show is Mr. Mike DeKalb.
Hello.
And he can be found on Twitter at Mike DeKalb. Mike, we have been doing Wonder Why for about 18, 19 months.
Something like that.
And I have to just ask right off the bat, what has been your favorite one-hit wonder that we have discussed?
Oh, wow. My favorite one-hit wonder that we've discussed was actually the one that I was sitting on for a long time, and I was so happy when we finally did it, and that was Skritti Palitti, because I love the song Perfect Way, and I think I mentioned I had heard it on the Hot Tub Time Machine soundtrack. And I mean, I remember when I was a kid, but not a whole lot. And then when I heard that soundtrack, it was like, oh, that song. Yeah, exactly. And then when I kind of dug into it and listened to some more of their music, I really, really liked it. Enough so that I actually went and got the album that had the one hit on it and went back and got a greatest hits album as well. And I'm, it's a shame that I don't think they tour. The guy lives in England, but yeah, that's the one, you know, that, and Thomas Dolby. I like doing Thomas Dolby a lot. Plus, I got to meet him after the fact, so.
All right, you can go with Skritti Palitti. I will refrain from making any comment. But what is the one-hit wonder that we have not discussed that you hope sometime in the near future or long-term future we get to?
I know we put it up as a vote. You know, when we first started doing Wonder Why, we put it up, we put the three suggestions out on Twitter, and we had people vote on them.
Yeah, and then somebody voted for Mungo Jerry, and we said, okay, we're stopping the Twitter vote because we don't trust our fans.
Yes. Oh, God, don't make us do Mungo Jerry. And there was one that I put on there that I was really hoping people would have voted for, and they did not. And it was In My House by the Mary Jane Girls. Just because I'm kind of curious and a little bit more about them. I know Rick James was kind of involved with them. I have a greatest hits album of theirs, and so I would love to kind of go delve a little deeper into their catalog. And, you know, any of those, or if we did any kind of old school hip hop, I just discovered recently that, you know, Rapper's Delight by Sugar Hill Gang is a one-hit wonder, you know. And if you want to go into the first rap single, essentially, that was ever released, you know, that might be a fun discussion as well.
So on the show, what we do is we find a one-hit wonder, and we break it down and try to figure out why they only had one hit. Mm-hmm. Was it creative differences? Was it album differences? Was it, you know, just the fact that they had no other good songs on an album?
What? Shifting musical trends, right? Maybe something with the record label. Yeah. That they just didn't push them hard enough because there was other people that were more popular.
You never know. And that's why we are here to break down these artists, these bands, the albums themselves, and to do the follow-up and say, okay, what came after this song that you know so well? Or what even came before the song? Were there singles that didn't chart? But we do that once a month here on the PCPN. I don't know why. I just like saying PCPN. It's like, I don't know. So tune in the last week of every month. And in addition to Wonder Why, separate from the PCPN, over on the HNPN, the Honey Nerds Podcasting Network, which is a network that, Mike, you have going with your wife, Charlene.
Yes.
Who told me not to name her before the show.
People need to know.
But we are starting another podcast.
Yes.
That will launch. I'm not going to tell you when we are launching a new podcast. We have another podcast over at the Honey Nerd Podcast Center. Tell us a little bit about that one so the fans listening here can go and follow that show as well.
Well, that one, I guess I was always a little jealous that you and I, when we do Wonder Why, we talk about music. And I mean, I'm very passionate about music, but you also do a sort of a fandom podcast with my good friend Eric Bennett, and you guys have a lot of movie discussions. And I've listened to some of the episodes, and I thought, you and I talk movies all the time, but we don't get a chance to do it on a podcast. And so, you know, with Disney doing a lot of live action remakes and Star Wars movies, I was thinking back about Touchstone Pictures, which was their live action the wing of Disney Pictures back in the 80s and 90s. And so I said, let's go back and watch all those movies, Chad. And so that podcast, which my wife came up with the name, it's called Out of Touchstone. And we're just going to basically go through the 35-year history, or I should say 25-year history of Touchstone Pictures and just kind of watch them, break them down, and kind of like we do with Wonder Why. It's not necessarily going to be a review of the movies as much as it's going to be what else was going on, what else was Disney doing at the time, what were the movie trends, what were the box office receipts, what did it look like, and just how these movies fit into Hollywood, through, like I said, from the 80s all the way up to the end of the 2000s.
All right, and you can find that on your local podcasting catcher app starting in November of 2019. And always remember, wonder why. And if there's something you want to know, if there's a one-hit wonder that you want us to break down, suggest it to us over on Twitter, at Chad Smart, at Mike DeKalb, or go to PositiveCynicism.com.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to JitteryMonkey.com.